Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Broads Who Binge. I'm Molly.
And I'm Marissa.
And we're just two millennial gals who watch a lot of TV and then talk to you about it.
Yeah, you sound really tranquil tonight, Molly. Your voice is like soothing me.
Wow. Okay. Well, I am a little tired. I went to the beach today and walked like 5 miles. So that's a lot of exercise for this sedentary person.
That is a lot of exercise. That's good.
Yeah. How was your Christmas holiday?
It was good. It was really low key. My dog played with my parents' dog, and that was the extent of it. I played Sequence with my family. Have you played the board game Sequence?
It sounds really familiar, but I can't remember how you play it.
I think you'd like it. It's like you use cards and then put them on a board to make a sequence of five. I actually started playing it with my college boyfriend, who you know. He taught me to play it. And so 10 years later, I'm still playing it.
So there's one good thing that came from that relationship.
Yeah, it definitely taught me a lot, like how to play sequence.
Hey, I mean, that's better than some relationships I've had, to be perfectly honest. So
how was your week?
My week was also pretty good. Christmas was very relaxed with the parents. Nothing too crazy, just a lot of eating and reading and chilling. I did have a traumatic experience at the doctor, though.
What happened?
Well, I was trying to get my blood drawn, and because I've had this thyroid thing, and I just stopped taking the medicine 2 years ago because I didn't want to get my blood drawn again.
You can't see me, but I am like shaking my head.
So I was like, okay, I told this to my doctor, and she was like, okay, well, we should probably get you back on the medicine. You can't just like not take it. And I was like, okay, fine. And so I told them that I'm not good. Like, it's really hard for people to draw my blood and that they might not be successful and they should like have their best person do it. And then I'll probably start crying and freaking out. And they were once again convinced that they would have no problems doing this. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna let you know, like, everyone thinks this, and it never turns out good. So they tried to draw my blood, and I was actually really proud of myself. I didn't cry, I didn't scream, but I mean, I was freaking out. And they literally couldn't get enough blood. They could not get enough blood, like, to the point where they were just like, okay, well, we don't know what to do. So they took it out and they prescribed me Xanax, and now I have to go to like a lab where they think that the people will be able to draw my blood better, I guess.
Had you like only drank coffee that day? Because I've had that happen when I only drink coffee.
That's actually true. I hadn't eaten. And I probably had coffee.
Okay, next time you do this, knowing your history with this, we should probably make sure that you've had lots of water and food.
Yeah, to be fair, I wasn't positive they were going to draw my blood, so I wasn't prepared mentally or physically for a blood draw. And it didn't go great.
No, it sounds bad. It sounds very bad. Well, at least now you have that Zanny prescription, though.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool. I only have two, so
it's
not really, we're not going crazy here. They gave me two whole Xanax.
They're like, get her through the day.
Yeah, exactly. It literally says take one before blood draw, two if needed.
Wait, that's amazing. So are you going to take it before you go get it your blood drawn?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Tuesday, I think. I'm trying to mentally prepare myself, but yes.
Wow. Well, we talk a lot about like medical issues and like squeamish things, needles. I did slice my finger off this week.
I saw those Snapchats and I didn't want to ask because you know I'm not great with blood and those types of situations. Is your finger healing okay?
It's healing like a fucking idiot. I sliced it off when I was using a mandolin slicer. Have you ever used a mandolin?
Oh, that's way too advanced for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I trust you. I believe in you, but I would just like to recommend that you never use one because every time I use it, I have this weird little thing of like, haha, I'm going to take a picture when I finish this and haven't sliced my finger. And I did it on Thanksgiving. And I guess I got too cocky because I was making the same really good potato dish for my family for Christmas Eve, just my parents, by the way. And I sliced my finger. So that
Oh,
was very cute.
it's brutal.
Yeah, I like how we're talking about like these very minor inconveniences of health in a year that like thousands of people have died. But
I know. I know. I'm not being super sensitive, but
no. I mean, we're allowed to cut our finger and pass out from having blood drawn too.
yeah, exactly. You know, it's just you have to take this podcast with a grain of salt. It's an escape from the reality of the pandemic slash life, you know.
Yes, exactly. Well, would you like to tell us what this podcast, I almost said this pandemic
This
is.
pandemic, tell us what this pandemic's all about. Why don't you?
Tell us about the podcast and the scoop.
So this is a not a spoiler-free zone, so there will be spoilers, people, if you're new here. If you're not new here, you know the drill. This is actually a mini-sode, so it'll be short and sweet. Yes.
Can I just say something about the spoilers on this
Yeah.
one? I know that we're usually like really rude to people about spoilers, whether they like them or not, but I just started watching this show because you said you were going to do it yesterday, and now I'm like kind of not thrilled about the spoilers because I'm like, no, I don't want to know yet. But anyway, I'm on board. I'm like definitely down to hear the spoilers. It's just the first time that I'm experiencing, like, wow, it kind of sucks.
Ooh, okay. Well, honestly, there's a lot to talk about without really spoiling it. So, I'm gonna give you the high level, and I think we can do it without majorly spilling.
We'll see where we get. It's fine. I can man up. I can handle it.
No, but honestly, this is a great show. So we're doing Heart of Dixie, and for some reason, I became obsessed with this show, and I think I've watched it like 6 times, like front to back. I really
Wow.
don't know why. But it was originally on the CW. There were 4 seasons of it, and currently you can stream it on Netflix.
Actually, you cannot, but you can
Oh, you can't.
screen it on Amazon.
Oh, they must have taken it off.
Yeah, it's off, but it is on Amazon. The first season. I'm not sure if the others are.
Oh, weird. I swear I just watched it on Netflix too. They must have literally just taken it off.
Yeah, so that was a bummer, but Amazon will hook you up for in the meantime.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So, Heart of Dixie is a, it's kind of just a typical CW trashy romance show. We start with our protagonist, Zoe Hart, who is played by Rachel Bilson. Love. And she is working towards a cardiothoracic fellowship in New York City. So she's a city girl through and through. She wants to be a heart surgeon like her dad and her last name. And basically, the head of the program says that she is not empathetic enough. She's a really good surgeon, but she doesn't care about her patients. And so he doesn't give her this fellowship. He says that she needs to spend a year as a GP and then he'll give her the fellowship. And it she says there's no GPs in New York. Like, how am I supposed to get this job? Well, it turns out that at her college graduation, this random man had offered her a spot at his practice in Bluebell, Alabama. And so she's desperate. So she moves from New York City to Bluebell, Alabama, which is in the middle of nowhere. And it's kind of your quintessential TV show small town where there's this beautiful town square and everyone knows everyone and drama ensues.
Yeah, there's one bar there. Yeah.
Yes, the one bar, the rammer jammer. Such a good name for a bar. So pretty much throughout the series here, we've got a love triangle situation going on. One side of the triangle, we've got Wade Kinsella. So he is the bartender at the one bar. He also lives on the same property that Zoe lives at. And he's kind of the, like, just like, I guess, like, down and dirty country boy, like, hunk character. Do you have any comments on Wade?
Yeah, I don't know if you want me to.
Yes, provide. No, chime
okay.
in.
Okay, I'll chime. Okay, the first scene I saw Wade, I was like, oh, he's not attractive. But then suddenly, every scene after that, he becomes very attractive, both his physical looks and also his personality. Like, before you dig too deep in the love triangle, and granted, I'm like 9 episodes in. And I should mention, by the way, I started watching yesterday. And at the very first episode, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Got very sucked into it, loved it. Watched 9 episodes last night, and they're like full hour episodes.
Yeah, this is, I mean, yeah, there's some meat to the episode.
They're meaty. And literally last night when I realized I'd watched 9, I was like, what do other people do? Like, literally, where do they spend their time? Because it's not even hard for me to watch every show I need to. Like, I genuinely don't understand what other people do.
I'm not sure what other people are doing, to be honest.
True. And it's not even like I'm like, oh, shoot, I watch TV, so I didn't do this. Like, I'm good. I'm getting stuff done while I watch TV. That's just another plug for getting your full 9 hours of TV in.
Yeah, it's important.
It's great. Anyway, so, okay, but by, like, the second episode, love Wade, and I am team Wade.
I figured you were team Wade. I was going to ask you which team you were on. So I'll mention the other male love interest. That's kind of throughout the 4 seasons. There's other men that come and go. But George Tucker is the other. And so he is, like, the white-collar town attorney that actually worked in New York for a while and then moved back to Alabama. And him and Zoe kind of have, like, a like-at-first-sight moment. She starts crushing on him, but comes to find that he's engaged to Lemon Breland, who's played by Jamie King, and she is, like, the town debutante, who is the daughter of Zoe's new doctor boss, Brick Breland,
who hates her and wants her to leave.
Hates her. Yeah, he wants her to leave. So there's a dynamic at the workplace where in season 1 Zoe has to get 30% of the patients or else she loses her spot at the practice, so she's fighting for all these new patients, and Brick wants her to fail, but the relationship evolves over the years and eventually they kind of grow to be friends.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Well, here's the thing. It's hard not to like George. Like, George is definitely likable. He's very attractive. He's a good dude, too. But I think that he's the kind of guy that I would have wanted her to end up with when I was younger. But now that I'm older, I, like, see that Wade is the underdog that's actually, like, a really good dude.
Yeah, I am team George.
Yeah, thought you would be.
But, yeah, I agree. It's very predictable for me to be team George, but there's something about him that I'm just very, very attracted to him. I still follow him on Instagram, and yeah. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, he's, I'm really great
into it. He's kind of like the all-American hunk. Another guy on the show that I am very attracted to is LaVon Hayes.
Same. I'm glad you brought it up, because actually I'm sort of, I think in real life, like, they immediately wrote off her character and LaVon's as, like, just friends. Like, immediately. There was never any question, even though she's single and he's single. And I think that in real life, or at least in my life, like, immediately, that would have been my first attraction and the first guy I tried to get.
Yeah, he's now the town mayor. She ends up living in his guest house. He's a former NFL player. so sweet. I mean, he, like, throughout the show is the most kind of emotionally intelligent, very kind. Like, he is honestly dream man of the show.
I love him. I mean, should we go ahead and do Fuck, Marry, Kill? We've sort of done it, but should we just like
Yeah,
cement it
no, we
in?
definitely should do Fuck, Marry, Kill. Would you like to go first?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would fuck Wade, as I've mentioned. I would marry LaVon and I would kill Brick based on where I am in the series.
Okay, that's very fair.
What's
I
your
would,
vibe?
now I can't remember his name, but Brick has a nephew that is like only in a few episodes. He's so hot.
Okay,
So I
haven't
think I would
met
fuck him. Yeah, he's not important unless you have my
him
type, but he's exactly my type. When you get to the episode with
I'll
him, you're
know.
gonna be like,
Yeah,
it makes
this checks
100% sense.
out.
And I can't remember his name, so I really should have prepped this more, but he just came to me. So I'd probably fuck him. I
Okay.
think I would marry LaVon.
Wow, you left George completely out.
Well, it's hard. I don't know. I just do think LaVon would be a better husband than George.
Yeah, I do too.
And I might kill Joel, which I don't think you've met Joel yet.
No, I don't know Joel, but I don't love that name, so I'm good with you killing him.
And you might come for me because I could see you liking Joel, but for some reason, I don't love him.
Wow,
For
okay.
he will become a love interest of Zoe's at one point in the show.
Okay, I look forward to that.
And that's really all I'll say about that. Anyways, since we're trying to do this fairly spoiler free, what I will say is that the show really follows Zoe's balance between going back to, like, does she want to go back to New York to pursue this career as a surgeon? Does she want to stay in Bluebell, Alabama, where she has these new friends and love interests, who she ends up with, her friendships evolve. But overall, it's just a really, like, lighthearted, sweet show. I don't think that a lot of content is out there. They're not making a ton of shows like this anymore. I feel like there's a lot of dramas, but this is just like nothing's really too heavy in it.
Yeah, this is very old school CW. Like it's
Yes.
like very, yeah, it's CW. It's exactly what you expected. Is CW even still around?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So I think though that they must not be making shows like this because I think we would know about them if they were. And yeah, it reminds me just of what all the CW stuff was.
Yeah, so I would say I'm not sure men will particularly love this show, I'm not gonna lie, but definitely our women will be entertained by this. And I was so entertained by this show that I did go to Alabama this year, and I was honestly convinced that I was gonna meet my George Tucker, and I kept like jokingly yelling George while
And
I was there.
did you find him?
No, the only guy that hit on me was unemployed, living on welfare, and literally lived in a trailer. He did ask me to do karaoke with him.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a love story. That's a meet cute if I've
So,
ever heard one.
yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, the bar had a new table that they had just put in, and they let everyone sign their name in permanent marker, and he signed his name right by mine, and he was like, we'll be together forever. So
Wow.
honestly, it really could have been a great story. Unfortunately, I don't remember his name.
You better hope he doesn't like commit a murder because your name will be next to his, then they'll have to interview you, etc.
Well, maybe that's how we get like my Dateline break. I'll
Yeah,
start as interviewee
that's true.
and then just go from there.
That's true. Well, yeah, I think that this show is really cute. I think that women would like it. And I also think that like sometimes you and I cover shows that maybe are a little edgy, and like sometimes I'm like, I don't know that like my mom would like this show, you know? But I think that this is like a show that is really wholesome, and like you could watch with like your teenage daughter, you could watch it with your mom. Like it's just like a wholesome show.
Yes, completely agree. There really aren't any edgy topics that are covered in this show. It really is very lighthearted, good for all ages. Again, during COVID, it's a nice show to watch because nothing too sad happens.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty lighthearted.
So this brings me to my first question for you.
Please.
So do you think that you would be able to, like Zoe, leave your in a big city and live in a small town? And not only live there, but like be happy and want to stay there.
Oh my God, Molly. We wrote the same question for each other. literally, verbatim, this is what I plan to ask you. Okay. I think no for me. Well, I think no in this sense. Now, the one exception is that if I were to like go to the town I love in Italy, which is technically a small town, I think I could be happy and thrive there. But could I suddenly like go to Bluebell, Alabama and be happy? Okay. How about this answer? If I'm Zoe in this world where there are hot guys aplenty, even though you're in the middle of nowhere and they're good dudes too, maybe. But in reality, that's not how Bluebell, Alabama would be if I actually went there. And so I think in real life, no, it's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I agree. I think there's this romanticized like idea of how small towns are in these TV shows. This show and in Gilmore Girls in particular, I just find it like there's such this sense of community and there's a town square and everyone's walking around and saying hi. And I mean, I guess I didn't grow up in the smallest town, but I grew up in a town of 7,000 people.
Yeah, you did this life.
So I did do this life for about 18 years, and I can tell you that if I never return to my small town, I will be absolutely fine, and I do not miss it.
That said, like, it's definitely, like, some people thrive in that life, and, like, we've definitely had friends from, like, college go back to small towns, and that's their vibe for me and you, and I think...
No, absolutely. I have friends who live in my small town that they grew up in, and they're loving it and having kids there and buying homes, and it's totally their scene. So there's nothing wrong with it, but it was not for me.
No, it wouldn't be for me. And in fact, you've lived even in bigger cities technically than I have. And I think of myself as a city girl. So you're like definitely a city girl.
Yeah, I honestly miss London. I like want to go bigger again.
Yeah,
but
now you're a homeowner.
I know that happens.
That happens to the best of us.
The COVID panic house buy. It's a classic case.
Meanwhile, I panic bought a set of like organizing bins during COVID, and you bought a house.
Yeah, well, you know, different strokes for different folks. I was in a studio. At least you had a one bedroom.
That's true. Okay, I have a question for you about the show.
Okay.
Do you, and again, I'm early on, so maybe things change, but do you find Zoe likable?
So I do like Zoe, but she definitely, okay, I'm going to compare her to Carrie Bradshaw. Is that bad?
You mean in the way that she's
in the way that Carrie comes across? Like, I love Carrie, but also sometimes she just makes such like self-absorbed decisions.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated with her. I think that's sometimes how I feel about Zoe.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that that makes a lot of sense. And she also has like a touch of neuroticism in her. Like her whole thing of like she couldn't go on a date because she like didn't, I don't know. She like was had cue cards of what to ask a date. Like, I don't know. She just is like a little neurotic for me.
Yes, I agree. She's definitely wound very tight. And I think throughout the show, she becomes a lot more. And I think the way that, like, just her being in the small town, she becomes a lot more chill throughout the seasons. And the
Sure.
first season, especially, she's like wound the tightest. Because they're really playing the, like, New York girl in the city, you know, like, wearing her 6-inch Louboutins, like
Right.
trying to find an almond milk latte, you know,
Which
they really
also,
play the
that
tropes.
also surprised me because, yes, like her mom is wealthy and very New York, but like she just finished med school. Like, med school, as I've come to understand it, is not romantic. Like you're like really like slumming it. So I was surprised by how bougie she acted because I don't know that I think that someone who just finished like all-nighters in med school and on rotations would be so bougie.
Yeah, I agree. I guess it's just because she's so wealthy
Yeah.
that maybe, like, I don't know. But I agree. She doesn't act like she's just fresh out of med school.
No, you also didn't give like the major spoiler that's not really a spoiler. The guy who offered her the job is her dad, her
Oh,
actual
yes.
dad.
Sorry, I should have done that. So, yeah, he's her biological dad. So there's a lot of friction in the show when she finds out that the dad who she thinks was her dad is not,
Is not her
that her
dad.
mom had an affair. So then she has this whole family, and that becomes like a plot line in the show at one point. Her dad's side, and then also her real dad appears in the show a few times too.
Interesting. Well, I'm curious, like, why do you think so many shows have that storyline? Like, of he's your dad, he's not your dad. Like, that's like such a thing that happens in the movies. But, like, do you think this is really happening that much in real life?
I don't know. I would be fascinated to see if they've done, because I do know that, like, especially now that 23andMe and those ancestry type websites are popping up, people are finding out that their parents aren't their parents. But I wonder, like you said, how obviously it's happening more with the dads because the mom would be a lot like a harder cover up.
Besides the fact that you look like a perfect amalgamation of your two parents, what, so it's like literally impossible for you. What would you do if you thought Carrie was your dad, but all of a sudden, like a guy in Alabama is like, I'm your dad and I want you to come here?
I don't know. I think I would freak out. It would be a very weird sense of identity
It would be.
because obviously I would never stop loving like the person who raised me and was my dad, you know, because someone doesn't need to be your blood to be your dad, but I think them lying to you, I guess her dad didn't know for a while.
Yeah, it's just such a weird storyline that happens so much in TV and movies. I just wonder like how many people actually have to like come to terms with that being their real life. And like certainly
Yeah.
also not only like I feel like the people who maybe do have that in their life also then aren't like willed an entire medical practice that kind of saves the day for them.
Yeah, she definitely did luck out, like incredibly
Instead of
wealthy
like,
dad on one side and then inherits a medical practice on the other. Like, it could be a lot
if this
worse.
happened in my life, it'd be that like I inherited all my dead dad's debt.
Debt, yeah, exactly. Or he like murdered 18 people, and you're like forever known as like
Yeah.
some like
The Golden State Killer is actually my dad.
you actually your dad. Oh my God. Well, if anyone listening has had a story where they found out that one of
Yes.
their parents wasn't their parents, We would be very interested in to know. Please slide into our DMs and share your story. We'll keep you anonymous.
Honestly, or if you want the credit, you can come on our show and tell the story yourself. Like, that
Oh,
would
a
be
hundred
worth it.
percent.
Yeah.
We would be very happy to do a completely off-topic
Off
episode.
brand. Yeah.
Off brand. We don't. We're not. We're brand curious.
Yeah, exactly. We're genre curious, brand curious.
Yeah, we're just doing whatever entertains people at this
No,
point.
I would love to meet someone who had that happen because it definitely happened in this show and was a big deal. And is sort of the whole plot of the show. So
So anyways, this is the mini. I think we kept it pretty high level, so hopefully you'll keep watching and others that haven't watched will be sure to tune in because there's four seasons. So that's a good weekend.
yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's really worth it. Like I said, I wasn't sure, and then I watched 9 episodes in one day. So I think Molly's spot on with this choice. Great choice, Molly. I think you nailed it.
Good. I'm so glad. This show brings me a lot of joy, so I'm glad that you're entertained. There's good eye candy. It's humorous. Yeah. All in all, I would recommend.
10 out of 10.
So, everyone, 10 out of 10, would stream again and will stream again.
Would stream 6 times.
Yes.
All right.
Whoopsies.
Well, we will catch you next week for a full-length episode.
Yes. And be sure to like, subscribe, and review.
Yes. Bye-bye. Exciting news! Brads Who Binge is now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So pick your favorite platform, and if you're enjoying this, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.